and welcome to the party. I'm just kidding. Hey, welcome to Central. I usually am able to give the announcements on Sunday morning, so I'm glad that I get to extend my time up here to, you know, not make fun of myself, but you'll do that for me. I'm just kidding. I am so blessed to be here here at Central. Have been here. If you're not aware, I am the youth pastor here. Love my job. It's my dream job to be able to provide for my family while serving the Lord, ministering to teenagers. And it's been an honor to be here at Central specifically. And I've been here for 6 months. So, yeah. Yay! Yeah. Made it 5 months longer than Kevin thought I was going to. So, I'm just kidding. Hey, this morning, what we are doing is, instead of, and this is, you'll see why, by design, we are not looking at a story in the Bible, or even just one scripture inside of the Bible. We're looking conceptually into something that I think that plagues us all. And it is from the valley to the mountaintop and back again. We're not really going to talk about the back again. You'll figure it out why. But we all kind of know just by the heading where I'm heading with this. We have all been on that mountaintop. We have all been in that valley. We know kind of what is going on there. And I just want to outline that a little bit. What are we supposed to do when we're on the mountaintop? What are we supposed to do when we're in the valley? And somewhere in between there, I think we're going to figure out what we're supposed to do. And I was kind of wrestling over how to start the sermon. So I did what any literary genius does. I'm not really a literary genius. But I wrote a short story for you guys. Are you guys ready to hear it? Okay. So I need you guys to like the other. Yes, that's okay. Yes. All right, so here it goes. Let's just say there's a little Johnny. Hey, we all know little Johnny. Anyway, little Johnny was born into a good family, and he lived in a good area, and his family made pretty all right money. At the age of five, Johnny's dad lost his job. And when he lost his job, along with it came the nice house and all the money and all the security. And they had to move into a lower income housing. And his dad had to struggle a little bit for some money. And Johnny and his family weren't on that mountaintop anymore. Well, Johnny's dad had a dream, and he went for that dream, and he started a business. Well, that business became more and more and more successful. So he was able to buy a nicer house, move them back into a nicer area, and everything was going really well. And the years flew by, and I know that all of us know what that feels like. And as you get older, it goes by faster and faster. I can say for myself, once I became a dad, time is not relative anymore because it just flies on by. Well, same thing happened with Johnny and his family. Time went on, and Johnny was about to graduate, and Johnny's mom was diagnosed with cancer, and the doctors didn't give him very long to live. So, her very long to live. So, during his freshman year of college, Johnny's mom died. A few months later, Johnny's dad developed a drinking problem, and by the end of Johnny's sophomore year, his dad had lost his business and the financial means to put Johnny through college. Johnny was kind of at a crossroads because he needed the financial help, but he also wanted to pursue this degree, which the degree was in business, so he could go into business with his dad, but there's no business to go into with his dad, so he kind of felt lost. Well, he decided to continue with college, finished college with no job, no prospect, but also with a heap of college debt. As he tried to pay it down by getting job after job after job, kind of climbing a ladder at work, he saw this wonderful, beautiful woman, and his heart just melted. Well, later on, he married that woman, and him and his wife working, they started climbing their own corporate ladders, and They moved into a nicer house, a nicer area, and they moved from apartment to small little apartment or a small house that they were living on top of each other to now a nice house that they could bring kids home, and that's exactly what they did. They brought two wonderful, beautiful kids home. And life was amazing. And as time went on, bills, he wasn't making any more, he was making more money, but he was spending just as much. Life was very, very expensive, and he got into some bad financial trouble, and he was trying to dig his way out, and his parents and her parents couldn't help him out, and they were trying to figure out, so they just added more debt onto it. And the weight of this world and the weight of debt and the weight of marriage even, because I think that we can all speak to marriage is not fun all of the time. We have to wrestle sometimes, right? Anyway. So the bills started stacking up, and marriage wasn't very hard or very easy. Children's needs became a little bit more expensive each and every year, and eventually that weighed on Johnny, and Johnny found a way to cope with that, and that ended up being a very unhealthy way to cope with it. So as he continued down these unhealthy vices, of course, how unhealthy vices do, they never get better, they only get worse. And it caused a rift between his wife and him. And his wife came to him and said, Johnny, you need to fix this. You need to figure this out because I cannot handle it any longer. And Johnny half-heartedly did that, but he had so much pressure on himself and he was taking so much onto himself that he let his marriage slip away. One day, his wife and his kids left. Johnny was then at the biggest decision of his life. Does he clean up his life and become the man that his wife and his kids deserve, or does he self-indulge himself even more into driving him into doing even more questionable things? Now, this is where I stopped writing the story. I did that on purpose because I tried writing a happy ending, and it was like too mushy, and then I tried writing a sad ending, and like, I was like, this is stupid. Johnny, why'd do that? And, but it works perfectly for what we're talking about. You may not, your name might be Johnny. Your dad might have lost his job at 5. You married some beautiful woman. You had 2 kids, and you're inside of the same situation where they've left now. That might be you, but chances are it's not. But we can all kind of piece together the pieces and say, we have either been touched by one of these tragedies, or we are smack dab in the middle of a crisis. And when you first hear from valley to mountaintop, you probably think, I know all too well the valley. And I hope and I pray that you can think back to some of those times where you were on the proverbial mountaintop. So looking at the mountaintop from the world's perspective, that is 100% glorified and looked up to. If you're on the mountaintop, these are people who are all the time, be like celebrities that you don't feel like will ever fall from grace. When they do, they're in the valley and we all know about it, right? But the people who are rich, their kids are obedient. Their husbands or their wives don't say anything embarrassing when they're out in public. Like I say embarrassing of Caitlin sometimes, which is, you know. But we glorify this mountaintop, and we say that is the standard, that we must live inside of the mountaintop. And I want to tell you that is smoke. And I think we see through Facebook, and I think we see through through other social media and on the news and stuff like that, that everyone is basically teetering on this teeter-totter of one decision is from valley to mountaintop, right? And I think we've all been on the receiving end of horrible news, and we say, holy moly cannoli, that was some bad news, right? And we can like feel like, oh man, just thinking back to that news that you got or that decision that was made, that it just crushed you. But we also, I hope, know of the great joy where you feel like I am invincible. Or or this turned out way better than I could have ever hoped or imagined. And I think that we get on this teeter-totter and we look at other people and we measure our lives towards that. And today is not about other people. This is about specifically you. That you know specifically what God has brought you to and through. That there's no other person inside of this room. Just imagine that you're hearing this from God, not from Noah, from the Word of God, which we're going to look at in a second, about how God has brought you to and through valleys and mountains, and we're just going to see what God intends for us to do. So maybe you felt the sun on your face from the mountaintop, and that's a good feeling, or the darkness and coldness of that the valley brings. But if someone was to ask you if you want the good news or the bad news first inside of any situation, we're people and we think that the good news is always going to trump the bad news. So we say, give me the bad news first and then I will let you know and then I'll react to the good news and maybe the good news is what's going to cover up the bad news and we can just like do this like dance of like, okay, what's going to make this easier for me to, more palatable, what's going to be easier for me to take this pill? Well, we're not doing that. We're starting with the good stuff because I think that it causes more drama. Just kidding. You guys need to laugh or something because, like, okay, thanks. I work with youth, and that's so, like, the entire time it's just like laugh, 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 Jesus loves you, and then people get saved. So I don't know. But there's your laugh. Okay. So today, while we look at the mountain, while we look at the good part of all of this, it would be good if I had my notes in order. Oh well, that works. Yeah, I see what happened. To God be the glory. Okay. All right. We have all felt the feeling of being on the mountaintop, I really hope. And being on the mountaintop means a lot of things. It means that you're blinded by the bad stuff in this world. You are looking at your life through a lens that is momentary. We want the mountaintop to be a plateau instead of a peak, right? We don't want to get to the mountaintop and think, oh, I'm only going to enjoy this for a second. No, we want our lives to reflect that mountaintop. We want our children to enjoy that mountaintop. We want to live inside of God's glory. But I mean, God intended for us to enjoy the stuff in this world, right? I don't think that we should self-indulge. I don't think that we should go crazy on the things of this world. But God definitely does give us joy for a reason, right? And if we're going to continue to follow God and honor God with our lives, we've got to see that God has never never left us in a place where he's like, I want you to feel pain. See, the Bible says that in the very last psalm, in the very last verse, this is how David concludes Psalms, and he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That no matter what, whoever you are, whatever circumstance you're in, God requests praise. And that's what you're supposed to do on the mountaintop, is praise God. You've got no other need, or you've got no other remedy to your good stuff than to praise God, because God is the one who gave it to you. It says, that's what I was trying to find. Must be missing a page, you guys. But that every good and perfect gift comes from above. That from the God who's not holding back, right? That the God that is in light and is not shifted by shadows, right? There's no darkness with God. There's only goodness with God. So if there's a good thing that comes from God, it is going to be really, really good. And when we look at our lives and we kind of weigh what is good and what should we look at, we should know that God is not just good, because we say good, we say tacos are good. And tacos are very good, you guys. But tacos are not as good as God. So we muddy up this word of good and what God must mean. So when we talk to people about Jesus, we say God is good. Say, you know what? My ex-boyfriend was good. He cheated on me. Or he's good. Oh, well, you know what? This or that was good, and that didn't end up very well for me. See, we say things are good, but that's not the kind of good we're talking about. We're talking about the goodness of God. See, all words pale in comparison to explaining the goodness of God. They just do. We're not going to be able to grasp it. We're not going to be able to say that we harness it. We're not going to be able to grab it and say, this is the box that God's goodness fits in, so let me just give it to you. We're not going to be able to do that. So what do? We give praise to God and we give thanks to him, saying, I don't know how you do it, but you do it, and I'm thankful for it. And that's what that mountaintop experience is supposed to do. That's why God allows us to have this mountaintop experience, because God truly does want us to experience that. So I want to kind of outline something for you guys. That if we're going to praise God, and we're going to do it with everything that we have, we've got to listen to that that Psalm 150, verse 6, but we also have to just back it up with 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. And if you guys want these verses, I'll give them to you, because I'm going to go through a bunch of verses. But it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, God, he intends us, or he, not in, he intends for us. God, without a doubt, he restores, he provides, and he saves. You can see inside of your life that the good things, the truly good things in your life, is that God has restored, God has provided, and God has saved you. Among other things are good and fine and we can enjoy, but when it all comes down to it, the things that are going to last inside of your life, the things on your deathbed that you're going to be rejoicing for, is how God restored, how he provided, and how he saved you. So as we look at how God restores, provides, and saves, we can be joyful about that, but there is no context that we have unless if we have the valley. And that's why I'm giving you the unfortunate news last. Because agree with it, disagree with it, we can fight all day about it. You would not have the mountain, and you would not appreciate the mountain if you did not have the valley. We need the valley. I need the valley. That the humbleness that God gives us is not to break us down, but to build us up, for us to build him up, for us to be able to say, no, not to me be the glory, but for you to be the glory. Because without this, I would be stuck inside of the muck and the mire, right? I'd be stuck inside of the valley, trying to just hoping that I could just smell the air of a mountaintop, but never knowing the how incredibly far from the mountaintop I am. But God's grace just catapults us up there, right? Because God is good. So does he care about us inside of the valley? Yes, of course he cares about us inside of the valley, because he tells us in the Bible. he told us he cares about us. Psalm 23, 1 through 6, one of the most known passages inside of the Bible, is this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go down the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. There's so much joy to be found inside of the valley because God is with us. You may not get anything out of this sermon other than this. God has never left you, nor will he ever leave you. We can be sure of that. We can see the evidence of that. And you may say that there's no evidence of God because you've never seen him, but you can watch my life. You can watch the lives of many, many, many others and see how God has stepped in and walked with people. Man, I'm a living testimony of God not giving up on stupid people. I mean, constantly, you guys. And God is just throwing goodness at me. And he's walking with me. And he's taking his staff and he's taking his rod and he's beating me. He's guiding me. He's strengthening me. He's giving me everything that I need to make it the next day. And when he's done with me, I won't be here anymore. And I won't care. Right? That is God. That is God's character. He's gentle. He's loving. He corrects. That is loving, correcting us. But we don't feel that. In the valley, we turn our eyes away from God because we feel like that God is the God of the mountain. And with Abraham and with Moses and with Jesus and with Elijah, he is the God of the mountain, you guys. He restores and he loves and he provides and he saves people. But God also, he walks with sinners. But when we're inside of the valley, we don't see that. What we see is Satan. We see the works of evil. And John 10:10, it says it like this. And you may have heard sermons about this. I'm just going to put things. The devil does this. It's talking about the works of evil do this. So those who serve something that is worldly, they're going to lead you to this. This world is going to drain you from this. And this is what it says. A thief, so the evil one, the enemy, comes to only to kill, steal, and destroy. And we may muddy that up and think that we're saying that the devil does that. We say that a lot, and it's the product of the devil, so we can just rest there and agree. But the enemy comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But, and this is what us preachers do a bad job of doing, we don't say the second part of the verse, which says, I have come so that you may have life and have it in abundance. So Jesus is saying the thief, the evil one, the results of this world, they're going to kill, they're going to steal, and they're going to destroy. That is where they're going to leave you. And they don't care about you, and Satan really doesn't care about you. But look at the contrast here. Guys, Jesus is saying that he has come, that I have come, so some of you may have life and have it in abundance. See, God wants us to have the mountaintop, but he knows how the journey is going to correct us and work and kind of mold us into being men and women after his own heart, right? You can't see the mountaintop you can't understand the valley from the mountaintop, and you can't appreciate the mountaintop if you haven't been through the valley. So should we, and the answer is no, should we beat ourselves up and live our lives in living, wearing sackcloths, walking around saying, oh, poor pitiful me in the name of Jesus. Oh, my life is horrible in the name of Jesus. No! Romans 8:18 says this. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Basically, actually, I'll just read it again because it says it perfectly. For I consider that the sufferings of present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Period. Done. Don't need any more. I can walk off stage and you can be rest assured that that you must praise God, but also that the things that you go through, whether that is you're praising God through the good stuff or you're praising God through the bad stuff, you can still praise God. And if you set your eyes upon Jesus, if you do that, then you suffer anyway, then you can say, consider it pure joy when I go through trials, right? You can say that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be shown to us. Forgive me for my language, and I'm not a cusser, and I'm not going to cuss. It's just a cuss word to me sometimes. Life sucks. It does. But God is so good. And God's so good that he says, he gives us things like this, nuggets, that the sufferings of our present time do not compare to the glory that will be revealed in us, or to us. So it may not be tomorrow, it may not be the next day or 10 years from now, but you will see glory revealed. That is a biblical promise that we will be able to bask in the light of God. And there's going to be a day that we will get to that mountaintop feeling, and God will be like, I'm not sending you back. You don't have to go back down the hill. You don't have to experience the valley anymore. Because God is good. Colossians 3, 2 through 3 says this. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and now you are hidden with Christ in God. To set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and now you are hidden with Christ in God. This is a blueprint. If you don't know how to live your life, just read this. There's a blueprint in the Bible for what do you do in this situation? What do you do in this situation? And it all kind of shows up in one thing, and it's that you need to praise God. In Colossians, it's saying, set your mind on things above. When you don't know what to do, set your mind on things above. Do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, because you know that when you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, you will be blessed for that, right? Now the benefit of that mindset is also, there is a benefit. We shouldn't do things, we shouldn't just follow God just for the benefit, but there are benefits to following God and following after him. In Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40, Jesus is talking about in the end of days, when it's all over, when it's all said and done, what you can rest your hat on. I think when God says you're done, over, and he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. And like we saw inside of Psalm 23, we're the sheep. Well, take that however you want. I think most of us know that sheep are dumb, okay? But sheep have no direction if they don't have a shepherd or a sheepdog or something. But we are running through this life not knowing what's up, what's down, where we should go. But the good shepherd, Jesus, is lining out our lives and saying, I am passionately wanting you to pursue me. If you put your trust in me, not inside of this world, please don't put your hope inside of this world. If you set your mind on things above, when you're in the valley or whether you're on the mountaintop, if you will just praise me, please praise me. I'm not going to do you wrong. When you're in the valley, I'm going to walk with you. When you're on the mountaintop, I'm going to rejoice with you. I'm going to be happy with you. I'm going to be glad that you're there. But you're inevitably going to fill the valley again. Do not turn away from me. When you do that, when you make that decision that you want to follow Jesus, you become a sheep. And God is your shepherd. You may wander off or whatever, but this is what Jesus says of the sheep. He says that he will say to us, he will say, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then us, the righteous, will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty or give you something to drink? When were you a stranger and we invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king, you guys, will say this, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." God will say, "I'm not looking at were you perfect? I know you weren't perfect. But did you love? Did you follow what I said? Did you love me? Did you give me the glory? Did you praise me?" God is not conceited. He is worthy, you guys. He is not conceited. I'll say it again. He is worthy of our praise. He's not asking for our praise because he needs it. He's asking because he deserves it. He's not commanding our praise because we ought to do that. We have to do that. We have no option. Like I said, living testimony of why God is real. So even though we shouldn't look to reap the benefits of God and following God, we can definitely look and say there are definitely benefits of praising God. That God's graciousness of us saying, "We give it all back up to you, valley, mountaintop, regardless, praising you," we can say, we can clearly see that God is like, "I will bless you. I'm here." You may not be rich, but you'll be taken care of. You may feel alone, but you are never alone. And like I said, this sermon is not for the person next to you. It is for specifically you. That you have gone through the things that you have gone through because God truly loves you. If that sucked, then that is God's. That is how God has walked you through the valley. If that has been amazing, then that is how God has been gracious to you. And thank God he has. But if we are to follow Christ effectively in each and every day of our lives, giving over more and more and more to his glory, we've got to live our lives saying that our purpose is to know him and make him known, of course, obviously. But every gift that I get, every situation I get myself into, or someone else gets me into, because it's not just you guys, I'm not just picking on you guys, but give God the glory and praise God. I'm going to tear back the veil a little bit as Rylan comes up I'm just going to close this. I'm trying to get you guys to lunch early, but so you guys will let me preach again. Anyway, it's just a tactic, no big deal. But I'm going to tear back the veil a little bit and say this. There is no such thing as a mountaintop or a valley, like legit. Like there are things that you like go up a mountain and you're on a mountaintop, like that's a real thing. And you go into a valley and you see a river and like you see like little like nocturnal animals or whatever. I don't know what you see inside of a valley, but you can experience like physically those things. But I'm just telling you, it's a perception. Because physically, you don't go from valley to mountaintop overnight. And we all know of those days where we were walking on the mountaintop and something happened and we dropped to the valley. See, it's circumstantial things inside of life that are keeping us from trusting God and praising him. Why is it that we're one bad phone call away from God being the only thing we can see because we're praying to him constantly? Why don't we just continually pray to him? Why are we people that are so far from God that we can only see God when we need God? When God is the author, the perfecter, the creator of this world. And all we can see is God when we need him? No. That's not the intention of this life. That's not what God intended. What God intended was for us to know him and make him known, saying to the world that we love him and he is worthy of our praise. So if this is your first time or your 1,000,000th time in church, congratulations. But if this is your first time, last time, whatever, somewhere in the middle, it doesn't matter. God has you here for a reason. He wants to make his relationship right with you. And you've got to take that step just to say, God, I'm sorry. If this is the first time you've heard about Jesus, I would love to talk to you about how you can be adopted by God, be a Christian, be a Christ follower. I would love to talk to you about that. The majority of you guys in here, though, our hearts are not right with God. Our praise is on the things of this world and on the mountaintop, disgusted at the valley because we think that's where God lives. That's not true. Man, God is walking with you. He's spurring you on. He loves you. If you need to make your relationship right with God, this altar is open. Nothing magical about the altar other than a physical move to do something. So you may come down and make a decision or get right with God. Cool. If you can do that at your seat, awesome. I really do feel like that I need the move sometimes. I need the physical step. So Ryland's going to play this song. I'm going to be down here. There are people all over the place that would love to pray for you. So if you want to come down here, pray, awesome. Then when that time's over, when the song's over, I'm going to get back up and pray and dismiss you guys, dismiss us. But don't let me dismissing you today, church ending, be the end of God working on your heart. If God's doing something in your heart, listen to God. If he's drawing your heart to do something, listen to God. Don't just leave it here. Bring it into your homes. So he's going to pray, and the altar's open.